This year will be different.
This year will be different. This year
will be different.
This year, I need to eat less. You know what? I do solemnly swear that this year I will lose 10 pounds. Or at least 5.
5 is the magic number. That's how many times I want to visit my grandmother this year, which would be 5 more than last year.
Learn to wait. I always want things instantly. I need patience. Now, this year, I'll
be nicer to my parents. What, Mom? Get off my back. I just need peace in my life. I'm just so nervous all the time. I'm twitching. 3 kids. I'm a twitcher. I'm twitching. I twitch. I just can't seem to get
my pits to stop sweating. Can you see this? Look, when did I become the human leak? I mean, I know I've got some stress about my future and everything, but why can't I just be like everyone else and you conceal it? Okay, I'll just have to fake it till I make it. And I'll
be better than I've ever been in my entire life.
If I'm going to make this year count, I have to do some things differently. It's toupee time.
Make some goals this year. Just 3, not 10.
Stop judging people who aren't like me.
Stop snapping at my kids.
Dream!
Character over image.
Learn that I'm loved, but not entitled.
God, did you forget about me? I'm here. Just show me what to do.
Give me the strength to change. What am I saying? I don't even know if I want to change, God. I'm comfortable. I have a good life. I know. You want the best for me. So why don't I want the best for me?
Starting tomorrow, using my gifts and talents, I'm going to live my life differently. God's way.
I'm tired of keeping this great gift.
A secret. Can I tell you a secret? I feel like I'm separated from something. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But whatever I need, it's bigger than this world can
offer. I offer my life, God. It's something much more than what I can see. So please, God, you just take this little bit of faith that I have.
I just can't wait another year.
All right, I'll tell you what this is about. You'll notice just about every year, about this time, I give in. Because I can't stand facial hair. But my wife has a birthday on the 29th of December. And it is something that I do for a certain amount of time. Makes her happy. And it's a good lead-in, actually, in some small way, to what I want to talk about today. And that is sacrifice. For me, even though this is small and insignificant and unimportant, it is a sacrifice because it drives me crazy. Just does. Okay. But in this case, what I'm remembering is, even if it's in just some small, insignificant, silly way, it's not always about me. It's not always about being, like they said in the clip there, comfortable. So I want to talk about sacrifice today. You know, the truth is that when we go back to the earliest and strongest portions of our country as a people, sacrifice was an important part of the identity that we had. People sacrificed to come to this huge continent. People left behind many things to come here. People made sacrifices when they got here in order to find a way to exist and live, but they didn't do it the way they had done it before. So even though sacrifice has been a part of who we are as a people and a nation, recently, it really hasn't been. Recently, the tide has turned. And when I say recently, I'm talking about in my lifetime. I'm 52. In the time that I've been alive, there has been a distinct change in the way this culture believes about sacrifice. Sacrifice is always good, but it's good for somebody else. Someone else should sacrifice. I'm entitled. And it has gotten to the point where it's not just in the culture, it's in the people of God. So we've got to revisit sacrifice. You know, the funny old adage about sacrifice that you hear me give you quite often, and Dusty wrote a joke. I'm going to let him finish the joke. I don't know. The old adage is, the only problem with a living sacrifice is what? It keeps crawling off the altar. Guess what? At least today, we've got to talk about crawling back on the altar. Even if it's just us, even though it would be great if it was more than just us, somebody has to revisit this. And today, it's you and me. I want to look at a few passages. I'll ask a couple of questions, but then we get to the end, I'm going to ask a couple of more questions, because that's where really the rubber hits the road. First passage I want to look at is Luke chapter 14. You got your Bible, you might want to pop it open and see where it differs from NIV, because there will be certain words that will be different here and there. This is one of those times in the Gospels in Luke chapter 14 where Jesus was moving around a good bit. And in one of those opportunities, Jesus stopped with His entourage and His crowd, and He said something to them that flipped their understanding of what it meant to follow God. He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Now that in itself, right there, if he had stopped, would have been enough to spiritually pretty much slap across the face anybody that was there following him. Because that was in your face. And there were people in that crowd who were not Joe the plumber. There were people in that crowd who were following Jesus with the intention of recording every word that He said to try to, in some way, trip Him up, because they did not like the fact that He had an entourage. Those people were seated in this group. And those people were doing all kinds of things that did not please God, one of which that Jesus constantly referred to at least once or twice, was a little rule that the religious people came up with about how you take care of your folks. Actually, it was a little rule that kind of helped you take care of yourself, take care of the priest, and not take care of your folks. It was called the Korban rule. It was, you can dedicate all your stuff to God. And you can give the priests that stuff when you die. It goes to God. But in the meantime, you get to enjoy it all. Guess who gets left out? Family. Because that meant that all those resources weren't going to be used for them anymore. It was a real nifty way, essentially, for the priests and the spiritual leaders to circumvent what God had always intended for people to do, which was take care of their families. Now, what does that have to do with this? What does Jesus say? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, it's interesting that he would talk about that, isn't it? He knew who his crowd was. And then he says, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, first of all, you and I have to agree, was the cross about sacrifice? Everything that I've ever read in the way that Jesus interpreted it, in the way that Paul interpreted it, in the way that the other writers in the Gospels and in the New Testament, every letter that was written, they understood the cross as a sacrifice. Go to Hebrews, it's all throughout the whole book of Hebrews. So let's make sure that we don't miss sometimes the fact that we don't have the word sacrifice written in there. Because yes, this is about sacrifice. Now, Jesus didn't stop there. If that wasn't enough to say that in order to follow Him, there had to be a sacrifice of ourselves, if not our lives, He said, let me give you some illustrations. What follows is a couple of illustrations. So He says, okay, there are some of you maybe who aren't religious specialists in the group, and let me boil it down for you. He said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough to complete building that tower? Makes sense, right? Whenever Regina and I first met in Texas, in Fort Worth, the economy in Fort Worth was awful. You could drive through suburban Fort Worth and there would be skeletons of strip malls everywhere. Concrete slabs, metal poles, metal roofs, nothing underneath them. All over town. Because people did not do what Jesus was doing in this illustration. They did not count the cost. They started building the structure, and guess what? The economy, whoop, bottomed out. They couldn't finish what they started. Jesus is saying, following Him is the same way. The thing that He wants us to count is not money. He wants us to count the sacrifice. He wants us knowing before we get our feet into this thing that there's going to be something that we have to give up. And that's kind of my working definition of sacrifice. Let's see, if you want to agree with me, you can. If you want to, but you know, the essential thing of sacrifice is this. In order to gain something, you have to release something, right? In that sacrifice? Okay. If you want to be, you want to be a baseball player in the major league, what you going to do? You have to give up a lot of your time, a lot of your energy, and you have to go work on the skills that will be necessary in order for you to achieve that goal, right? To get something, to receive something, you had to give something up and you had to take something on. Make sense? Sacrifice. Sometimes the things that you have to give up are not cheap. They are not easy. They are desirable things, but because you have a greater desire for something else. So the first illustration was the guy building a tower or a building. Second illustration, next slide. For if he lays the foundation, he's not able to finish it. Everyone who sees it will ridicule him. I'm telling you guys, I shook my head every time I drive through some neighborhood. You know, I mean, I drove through the neighborhood all the time because they're just all over the place. You could just see these buildings unfinished. It was a creepy thing. He wasn't able to finish. Second illustration. A king about to go to war against another king. Will he not sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Now, does that not make sense? Why would a king going to battle need to consider all this? If those guys march into battle, what happens? Yeah, somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to sacrifice, right? You are counting the sacrifice. It's not just, do you have more men than him? It's a matter of, what is the cost in terms of human sacrifice going to be? And then three, if he's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Is that sacrifice? That question has to be then, is it the way that we look? Is it who we are? Or are we doing the best we can to white knuckle, hold on to a lot of stuff that God has told us to release? Because He has something better, but we keep holding on to the stuff that we have. What are the things that are mentioned in this passage, then, that you see that speak to us about sacrifice? What do you see? What speaks to you? Okay. So family, relationships, material things, and then pride and power. That's what some things that you see. What do you see? Thank you, Claudia. Wisdom. Okay, deliberate. Explain a little bit, Bobby, on wisdom. So it's wise to do that. What does that have to do with sacrifice then? How do you understand all that? Pride. Okay. You're placing your pride aside for others. Okay. Makes sense. Wisdom does that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Deliberate. Intentional. Okay. Anything else? Time? Okay. All right. I'm going to get to this at the end. Okay. Remind me that you prompted me to time, because when we get to the end of this, I want to talk about time. Okay. Second passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "Therefore, brothers, if we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it." We have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Where do you see the language of sacrifice here? Put to death. Okay, so in this case, we have the misdeeds of the body that we have to put away, kill, in order to gain what? Life. Not just life, it's eternal life lived now. Because the life that we have now is eternal, even though we get to enjoy it in the temporal, in the present time. That's the blessing of receiving Christ in the Holy Spirit living in us. The life we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and delivered Himself up for us. And the life that we live is eternal. But it's anchored now. Here. We enjoy it now. So would you agree with me that putting to death in this case means the same as a sacrifice? By the definition of sacrifice that we're using, we're having to put something away or kill it in order to gain something other. Okay? So according to this statement, is it really possible to actually sacrifice the misdeeds of the body without the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay. It is. It is mutually exclusive. Do you know a lot of people who are trying to be good? Because trying to be good or be moral without the power of the Holy Spirit is an impossibility. Something's got to die in us. Next passage is going to say something very similar. Let's go to it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Everybody knows this one, right? Almost every one of us can probably quote part of it. Same letter, second verse. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here Paul wrote, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And then you could almost put, "So now," in verse 2 here, "do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Okay. So when you look at this, what sacrifices do you understand this passage to be urging you and me to make? It's calling us to sacrifice, no doubt. But if we don't have an idea for what it's calling us to sacrifice, what good is what it says? Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego as examples of sacrifice. So, what did they get? What did they sacrifice?
Sacrifice themselves.
Okay, themselves. Whatever reputation they might have had. What did they want to gain? God's favor? Because the man's favor didn't matter, did it? Okay. Now, the reality is, we have to remember this, and we don't want, is that when we do the sacrificing, either that thing dies or we die to it. Dead is dead, in spite of what we think the result may be, which is what? Exactly. Because we don't understand, I think, how infantile we appear to a world that desperately wants to see us mean what we say, when we play that game of, I'll obey God if it benefits me. There's no power in that. And the world sees that. And when we play that game, they just find us a bunch of silly children. There are people who are making sacrifices in our culture and in our church. And the sacrifices that you make are what stands out. So let me kind of return to this again and ask the question one more time, make sure we don't miss anything. So when you see this passage, what do you understand this passage urging you to do? What sacrifices does this passage seem to be impressing upon you to make? What are the things that this passage is about? What sacrifices are you supposed to make? Am I supposed to make? Your will, our wills. And I mean, that's true. And I think what Claudia was saying earlier also is a very important part of that, is that it is a choice we make moment by moment, morning by morning, day by day. You know, it is a repetitive over and 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 over. No, we're not perfect. That's true. Oh, absolutely. You see, if we are not really sacrificing, then there is no power of God evident for the world to see. That's right. That's true too. That's right. Because we get back to that comfort thing. Okay? Here's my other thing that I'm going to say about this, and that is, we don't get the pleasure of picking and choosing. If a total sacrifice is a total sacrifice, we don't get to pick and choose what we like and we don't like. If we really have made the sacrifice of ourselves. But truthfully, we aren't living that way. We're picking and choosing and feeling good about ourselves when we do good on the things that we do good on. And then we just kind of forget the stuff we don't do good on. And that's where we have to repent. Let's go to the last passage. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You hear some of the same things again echoed by Paul. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. If you sacrifice, you have the life. And when the life comes back, you got life. Put to death, sacrifice, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, the question is, where is your mind? Is it set on earthly things or heavenly things. Because the earthly things are what we are supposed to sacrifice. And how well are we doing it? So would you agree with me? It's a sacrifice to put to death the earthly things. Would you agree with that? It's not to mean that we don't get to do earthly things. We're here. We're breathing. Okay, we eat, we sleep, we communicate and relate to one another, encourage one another, share life and all that stuff. That's all earthly stuff. But it is sacrificed so that it does not have the bad stuff, the tainted stuff in it. Does that make sense? The immorality, the greed, the idolatry. We enjoy life, but we don't enjoy that. Because that is dead. And we now have eternal life that we're sharing. That makes sense? To work? We don't have anything to do with the curse. Thank you, John. So the question then is, what necessary sacrifices have you and I failed to make? And is it ever too late? As long as you got breath. All right, let's go to some application questions. Here's the broad one. So, other than those things that we have spoken about in relationship to these in the New Testament passages, what are some of the things that we know the Bible tells us to sacrifice? What are things that we know we're supposed to kill or put away or put down in order to gain something that's God? What are things we sacrifice in order to get God's highest, His best? Okay.
I had to do away with attitude. Ooh, I'm glad I did. And I was blessed. I wasn't blessed right then and there. In God's time, He blessed me. I'm so blessed today that He did that for me.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that by attitude, you mean attitude that is negative, self-serving, I could attach a bunch of words to it, but attitude that doesn't please God. Okay. All right. So that attitude, where in Scripture do you know that your attitude's got to go?
Oh, all of them.
Okay. How about me? Philippians chapter 2.
Okay.
Verses 1 through 4. Go hunt that one down. And actually, you can go to verse 5 and through 10 or whatever there, but what else? What are some things we know? You know that the Bible's told you to sacrifice. Well, yes, those, but there are more. What are some things we're supposed that you know the Bible tells you to sacrifice, Stephen? Anxiety. He says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Okay? All right. There you go. What else? What has He told you to sacrifice? Okay. Pride. Okay. Selfishness. Time, talent, resources. Now we get to return to that time word. I know that Dusty's going to talk about this at 11 o'clock in the next couple of weeks as we get into it. But I've got to go ahead and give you the preview, okay? The truth is, we have time for whatever it is we want to do. And we need to stop lying. Because somebody asks us if we can do something or serve, and if God tells us to do it, we need to do it. And if we know it's what God wants us to do, we need to do it. And if we're going to do something else and spend our time somewhere else, we better make sure God's in the middle of it. Because we have the time. If we want to. Don't you make time for the stuff you want to do? So let's just put that little dream bubble off somewhere, okay? Let's pop it. We have time for whatever we want to do. So, that representation, of our time that we sacrifice. Okay. Talent. Are we focusing on ways to sacrifice the talent that we have for kingdom purposes? Or do we continue to focus on our talent being used to bring advantage to us? But the problem is sometimes we convince ourselves that God's not leading me to go do that. Because He doesn't want me to be uncomfortable. God doesn't want me to take any risks. I mean, we begin to tell ourselves we don't want our babies with those kind of people. You know, Russell brought up the first one. Time, talent, resources. Okay, we got to the two, but we got to get to resources, okay, since we're there. All right? And we're preaching to the choir. I know that. Forgive me. Okay. But we have way too many people thinking that that what they got doesn't belong to God, and behaving that way. And like it doesn't matter to God at all whether they give back anything to God or not, which is a patent lie. The truth is, we know that consistently from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is passage after passage after passage after passage about giving back to God. And we can't rationalize it away. You can do whatever you want, but you can't argue with God. But we have a lot of people acting like that's a choice they get to make. No, I don't think I have to do it today. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My practice has changed over time, over the years. I used to kind of be one of those guys that kind of liked to do the once a month kind of thing. But I've just got to the point where for me, this is just me, I'm not saying this is what you have to do, but me, I just feel like unless I know that I'm giving back to God every week, it's not tangible for me. So every week, I'm going to figure out what it is I make. And then if God gives me something else, I figure out what it is I need to do on the top of that. But I just need to do that every week for me. I know some people only get paid once a month. And I understand all that. Okay, I know how bills go. But for me, it's more practical, more tangible for me to know that those resources that God gives to me, that I'm returning what has God not done for me? And to think that I would not give anything back to God, it's a disconnect. Because time, talent, resources, it's in Scripture. Well, how many times do I not talk about stuff that you don't already know? Huh? I mean, I hardly ever say anything that you don't know already. And I'm going to give you my nickel answer to that. And that is where the Romans chapter 12 comes into play. If you're not hanging in there with God and you're not spending time listening to God, then when it comes time to knowing what you're supposed to do, you're not going to know. Yeah, we've got to have those glasses that give us the perspective that God has on all this stuff, time, talent, resources, and everything else. I want to show you a video to close. It's of a guy who's kind of, he's a musician. He's kind of wrestling through the whole idea of what it means to sacrifice and serve and hear and all of that. And so I'm going to let you meet a guy named Nathan Lee.
Well, what if I never made more records? What if no one ever hears my music again? Writing songs for broken people? That's the heartbeat from me. Before I came back from the West Coast, he said to me, "Do you want to come play LA County Jail?" Yeah, all right. First song, standing ovation. But that was the day I knew where I was supposed to be. I sing songs for broken people. And that's for me, this song is keep moving no matter how rough it is, no matter what our story is.
Parts of me are broken. Parts of me.
And it's important that we just never get still. And that's different from resting.
Parts of me are open. And some I just don't know. I'm out here and nowhere, an empty road ahead. It's hard to start walking, but I can't stay where I've been. So I will walk until it's over. I will cry until I'm dry. I will search for the answers, but I cannot be still.
Take up your cross and follow me means this to me. It's probably not going to go down the way you had planned, but I'll be there every step of the way. I've spent 15 years in Nashville, chasing things that were a waste of time. And I'll own it. No young 18-year-old musician wants to find out they're going to be pulling residencies down at Holiday Inn. It's just not cool. But what if it mattered?
Sure as hell can't stay here, 'cause this ain't no way to die. So I will walk until it's over.
I'm always fascinated by people that have the guts to do something radical. It's that moment of living in the edge. I love being at that place in the edge that only God can get you out of.
But I cannot be still.
And that's where I want to get to the second half of my life. I want it to matter. I'm going to Iraq in a week to play on an army base. That's not very sexy, but I'm in. What if I die overseas playing for a military? Well, if the suicide rate in 2010 is higher than it's ever been for the U.S. military, and I go to sing songs for them in hopes that God can whisper, and I die? Okay. That's all right. I never needed health insurance anyway, if that's how I go out.
This is my confession, my repentance, and my prayer.
If I had to write a letter, having no idea when I left that letter for you that I'd ever come back, man, I'd want that letter to count. And then I'd want to make sure the day I left, right after I licked the envelope shut, that I lived up to everything I put in it. And that's the way, I think, to live a life of faith. Go and own your words.
I will cry till I'm dry. I will search for the answers. Oh, but I will not be still. Oh, I will not be
Let's pray. Father God, come before you today. Lord, you've met with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help those things that we need to hear and we need to remember, that need to move us, Lord, that we will hold those things close. Father, I pray that we'll spend time with you so we know the things that need to be removed, the things that we need to do without, and the things that we need to do. Lord, I ask that you would help us to embody the sacrifice that you made, that other people would be attracted to you. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't shirk our responsibility to represent you well, and that we would do the things you did.